Hey folks, we're doing this. As the team here knows, I don't like to do mic checks. I like to get right into it. And today I'm getting right into it with Dr. Malika Mooncore, who is one of our great physicians in the office of the CMO and the lead for the National Priority Review Voucher Program. So Malika, great to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much, Marty.
Now, real quick, just so the audience can get to know you.
Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about yourself. Specifically, are you afraid of bears or hawks?
So I have a funny story about bears.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So I'm not afraid of either, actually. I should be. But we were at Yellowstone National Park a couple, I think, months after I got married. And I had to get those pictures, you know, the wildlife. It's everywhere. So
in front of a cub underneath the mother.
Well, I did get out of the car to try to take a picture of a baby.
That's the one thing in the manual you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I was, don't judge me. Yeah, I have made better decisions since then. But I was encouraged to get back into the car very quickly, and I did, and I'm here to tell the tale. So
fearless, that's what we like at the FDA. People who are fearless.
Got to get that picture, so.
Good, well, I hope you can share it with us at some point. Where'd you go to medical school?
University of Massachusetts.
Okay. Is that a state in New England?
Yes.
And college before that?
Harvard.
Okay. And residency?
Went to UAB, Roll Tide. Know my college football.
University of Alabama in Birmingham.
Yes.
Great school.
Yes. Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, with that, now you know Malika here, our wonderful colleague at the FDA. You too can work at the FDA and be a Malika someday if you'd like to apply to work here. We are constantly in our hiring mode. So tell us about the National Priority Review Program that you helped craft and just sort of the overall concept behind it.
Sure. So in a nutshell, I would say it is innovation, right? Innovation in our review processes. And so I've been at FDA for 8.5 years and have to really commend you for the extent of innovation that you're piloting, even in the very short time that you've already been here. So it's been incredible. This program is really a forced innovation in re-examining our review processes from soup to nuts. And, you know, what do we really need to do? How fast can we do it? Are there ways to modify how fast we do a review based on how important we think it is for the country? So kind of thinking about the program and how it, you know, the broader structure, the usual timeline for our reviews is 10 months. Historically, priority reviews was 6 months. Now, this program aims to have the review done in a period of 1 to 2 months. So that is ultra accelerated review. And when I first heard about, you know, this concept, it sounded wild. Like, I'm going to say, like, it sounded wild. But as we got into thinking about this more, we learned that, you know, there are components that make this framework feasible. And not only feasible, it makes sense to do this when you have a national priority. So, any of the national priorities, I think you identified for us and with other leaders in the agency, I would love to hear about that.
Large unmet public health need.
Yeah.
Domestication of manufacturing as a national security issue. Equalizing the price of drugs with other OECD countries to make drugs more affordable and also therefore accessible. And companies that are innovating in a space where there's a big need and there's otherwise very little attention. Areas of medicine where we have not been giving a lot of attention that deserves a lot of attention. So now I love this idea. We got to try new things. We have to innovate. We have to be creative. We have to do things differently. And if you look at the process of how we approve a drug right now at the FDA, I mean, first of all, 50 people could be involved. It gets farmed out to multiple offices. there's no real incentive for you to get your review done sooner if you are able to get it done sooner, because the other offices will have right up until that 10 to 12 month point to get their review in. So if you're getting your reviews done in 2 months, you're not really increasing the speed of the overall product. And we like speed, but we don't like cutting any corners on safety. So that is our number one priority throughout this, is there are no corners cut on safety. It's the same people, same decisions. We reserve the right to take more time if we believe it needs more time. But the goal is to get these decisions out in a week or two by reducing idle time. Sorry, a month or two. By reducing, maybe a week or two, who knows. By reducing the idle time and reducing the time where applications are just sitting around, not being reviewed. So with that, shall we announce the first recipients of the National Priority Review Voucher Program? And I'm thinking this will be the first batch, and then in a couple weeks we'll announce the second batch, because it was a big group. There were some tough decisions. You can maybe share how we made the decision and where the nominations came from.
Yeah. So I do want to say that a lot of work has gone into getting us to this point, you know, which not just folks, you know, like yourself who are very busy, you know, and spread, you know, across a lot of obligations, but other leaders in OC, the review divisions, the center directors. It's been a lot of minds have gone into it, and it's really exciting to be at this point.
It is kind of cool.
It is.
And I got to be honest with you. Yeah. I thought some people would say, here, that's a crazy idea. We're not playing ball. But instead, what I got was, I love the concept. I'd love to help operationalize it. And so a bunch of people came up to me and they said, not only, hey, here's an idea on how we can reduce some of the idle time, but they also said, I've got a medication in my portfolio that would be a perfect candidate for this. And it got me thinking, hey, instead of us picking the medications, how about let's just have the divisions nominate the products that they think would be a perfect fit for this?
Yeah. And that was a great, I think, evolution that we, you know, during the early phase of this program, is to not only, you know, engage the staff here and have them part of the process, which is the way to make this sustainable and the change sustainable, but they are also the subject matter experts, so they really understand the field and which areas might be most appropriate for this. So
yeah.
that was a great innovation.
Well, I think if we would have just said on day one, hey, we're doing this, then we would have hit all kinds of issues. But by socializing it, and you know, I get a lot of questions, hey, when is it going to roll out? Well, we've been here about 6 months. I've been here about 6 months. You've been here 8 years.
8 and a half.
8 and a half. With a little break in there to take pictures of baby cubs. And then by taking those 6 months to think about it, socialize it, run it by the people, find out which medications they think are the perfect candidates for this, or at least initial candidates. Because if you're going to do something on a pilot level, you got to start with some group. And Sure, we could have just randomly chosen medications, but we thought, let's choose medications in line with our national priority goals. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy about the list, at least the full list. This is just going to be the first batch that we talk about today, because we only have so much time to shoot this podcast. So let's go through the initial list if you want to run through it.
Yeah, sure. So so the first one, this is in no particular order, by the way. These are all exciting. They're all important. This one, Cytisine, is a product that's proposed for the treatment of vaping cessation or e-cigarette cessation. So we don't have anything FDA approved for this right now. And this is a huge problem that you've already talked about, you know, the vaping problem in this country. And this is going to address a very important unmet need if this goes as we hope.
Cytisinicline. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Cytisinicline. That's kind of how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
You don't have to learn how to pronounce it out there in the world, but we want to, first of all, we don't know what we're going to decide on any of these
drugs,
right? We reserve the right.
That's That's right.
We're going to get a decision out quickly, but it's not a guaranteed approval out quickly. And so the review team, led by the subject matter experts, that is the primary review team within their division, if they say, hey, we're just not on board with this, then you know what? May not get approved. So there's a committee that you're heading up that is a multidisciplinary group of scientists and doctors that are going to be reviewing these medications. But this is interesting because 50 million Americans use tobacco or nicotine products. And there's nothing really approved specifically for vaping cessation.
Yeah.
So this could be a potentially promising.
Absolutely. So I think opportunities to innovate in that space and in terms of treating nicotine dependence, now that it's a problem for our youth, is finding treatments that they will adhere to, right? So that's a challenge. So I think this is a really important product for us to try to accelerate.
Yeah, potentially promising. Large unmet public health need. I think
yes.
It fits that category perfectly.
Yep.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay, next on the list.
Okay, the pronunciation. Don't hold me to this. Senegerman.
Yeah, that's how I would pronounce it.
Okay, yes.
Dash BKBJ, whatever
yes.
that means.
Yeah. So it's an interesting, very interesting product, in my opinion. Recombinant human nerve growth factor. This is already approved for another condition for the treatment of something called neurotrophic keratitis, an ocular condition. But here, the proposed formulation it's going to be intranasal, and the hope is that it's going to sort of promote return of vision in for this condition called NION, non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy.
One of the most common forms of optic neuropathy. The
That's
most
right.
common form of
That's
optic
right.
neuropathy.
Yeah, so this could potentially help a lot of people.
Hey, you know, blindness is a terrible thing. And if you look at surveys, after the fear of death, the second most common fear or third most common fear that people have, depending on the survey, is blindness. Mm. And it is debilitating. So, look, I hope this can potentially help a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, next on the list.
All right, so teplizumab.
Teplizumab.
Yeah, teplizumab for type 1 diabetes, which I know is also it's a condition of interest right now. Type 1 diabetes, it's the pathophysiology, it's an autoimmune disease effectively, where the body is sort of attacking its own pancreas. And this product is, it's an antibody that aims to sort of decrease that autoimmune activity and delay the progression of destruction of the pancreas by the autoimmune process.
Yeah, specifically the CD3 cells. So those CD3 cells are destructive to the beta cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an anti-CD3 monoclonal antibody, which has shown promise in other settings in, I think, phase 1 and phase 2 of type 1 diabetes. So this is up for being evaluated now for a common phase 3. And gosh, if it can help reduce the number of insulin shots that somebody needs, that'd be great.
Right. And the times that they're in the ER with DKA or other complications. So type 1 diabetes is, particularly as it progresses to those later stages, is really a terrible disease. So this prevention is the key. So hopefully we can see something happen here.
I'd love it if it could help my cousin with type 1 diabetes. He's been dealing with it for a long time. But we're going to go into this, or the committee will go into this very objectively.
We will.
Trying
certainly.
To review that data. But the
Absolutely.
Division that nominated this, nominated it with some enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next medication.
All right, this one is really, I am very excited about this one. It's a gene therapy product. It's our only gene therapy product in this first batch, DB-OTO. There was a publication that just came out in NEJM a few days ago.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah, describing some of the clinical results. So in that study, it was a first-in-human, open-label, single-group study that demonstrated improved hearing in 75% of 12 treated children with congenital genetic deafness. So that's the area that this treats. So, and three actually achieved normal hearing sensitivity. I don't work for the company, but this did excite me. You know, these are pretty remarkable results. So safety is another question. I care a lot about safety, and I think that is a piece that we need to learn more
about.
Always
a question with gene therapy in particular, yeah. But I saw that New England Journal sort of subgroup of the couple, or maybe it was three, I guess you're telling me, people who had their hearing restored to normal, and gosh, how can you not look at that and say, we need to get a decision out promptly.
Yeah.
We need to
not
approve it quickly. We just need to get a decision out promptly using the standard scientific process, cutting any wasted time, any idle time.
Right.
But pretty interesting mechanism.
Yeah.
Now, it's only for like 1% to 3% of children with congenital deafness actually have this gene defect.
Right, that's right. So this is very rare. It's a very rare disease, but has the potential, you know, with this treatment to change the course of that child's life. So in that way, pretty exciting. But long-term safety and effectiveness, that's definitely something that be interesting to learn more about here.
And we're hearing the company may make it available either at an extremely low price or for free, which, of course, is part of a national priority to make drugs more affordable. So we would love that. Mm. All right, next product.
So I'll maybe mention two, but we'll start with the first one. So ketamine. Ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic. Many off-label uses that have taken hold in the country, but the proposed indication for this product is anesthesia, but the priority is domestic manufacturing, which is, you know, certainly there's executive orders out there that really emphasize the importance of building supply chain resilience.
Bring your manufacturing to the United States, and there will be a treasure trove of benefits, number one of which is national security for the American people. So this is an America First priority, is bringing manufacturing to the United States. A lot of companies are saying yes to it. We've offered to help with the process. We have a pre-check program now, among other programs, to help companies that want to set up their facilities in the United States with more of a partnership with the FDA to get the approvals done early for the manufacturing part. And the other one?
Yeah. So the other one, Augmenta.
Oh, by the way, ketamine, who's the sponsor?
Flow Corporation.
Okay. Yep. Probably good for us to mention the sponsor.
Yes.
Great. And also with the next one.
So the next one, Augmentin, same priority is domestic manufacturing, supply chain resilience, and the company is U.S. Antibiotics. So.
Love the first two letters. U.S. Yes, love it.
Yes, me too.
50 million prescriptions a year are written for antibiotics. Mm-hmm. That's not just Augmentin. No, that's antibiotics in general.
Yep.
Probably should be 40 million.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, should I say this?
You can say whatever you want here.
We prescribe too much, but we want it when we want to have it when we need it, right? And we want it to work.
Antibiotics save lives.
Yeah.
And they are a critical tool. One of the biggest advancements in modern medicine, in the history of medicine. But we are at risk of going backwards to the time before the advent of antibiotics because of the overuse driving resistance. Yeah. And so that is a big problem. Study after study has shown roughly half of outpatient antibiotics are entirely unnecessary or should not be prescribed. We all know what's going on, right? It's a consumerist culture. It's easier just to give a prescription to somebody with a viral upper respiratory infection than to say, this really does not appear to be a fit for antibiotics. Call me tomorrow if you happen to notice symptoms of a bacterial infection. But it is a pill-popping culture in many aspects. By the way, the United States may not be the worst. We're hearing overseas where you don't even need a prescription. Yeah. It's like giving out like candy.
Yes, I mean, that's true.
You take it for headaches in some countries inappropriately. They just see it as oh, it's this incredible, magical thing. And it is magical.
Just go to the pharmacy in India and buy the stuff without a prescription.
Yeah, it's literally street vendors and all over the world.
Yeah.
So antibiotics save lives. We want people to take them. They do amazing things for people with bacterial infections. We also have an overuse. We've got an underuse problem and an overuse problem, but the overuse problem dominates the marketplace.
Yeah. The overuse problem in general, but also with antibiotics, right?
Amen to that, sister. Okay, so Augmentin is a candidate. Congratulations to that company, and thank you for making it in the United States of America. Okay, next product.
Okay, this one is also really important in its alignment with our national priorities. So the product is Pergoveris, and the company is Merck Serono. And maybe you could talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, it's for infertility. And look, addressing infertility is a massive priority in this administration. Infertility is a big problem, and it is a problem that we have to address in a multi-pronged fashion. We have to address the root causes and the insulin resistance. Why are sperm counts going down? Why are we seeing more polycystic ovarian disease or syndromes? Why are we not talking about the root cause and preventing? When somebody comes in with polycystic ovarian disease, there are actually dietary things that can help with that condition, but we really are not taught in medical school, hey, start talking about food. Somebody comes in with polycystic ovarian disease. So infertility is a big issue, and this is one piece of it. This is a medication for women undergoing IVF procedures. It's approved in other countries, and it's in line with President Trump's executive order to address infertility.
Yeah. So I think this one is important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Next medication is for
erythropoietic protoporphyria.
Or vampire syndrome.
That sounds better.
Is that
or
politically
worse.
Incorrect? Or maybe it sounds like it would be.
I think we're allowed to say vampires.
Okay. Well, that's the historic name for it. The lawyers are taking some antacid right now.
They're looking it up right now. Are we allowed to say this?
They just see us here on the set. They know I'm going to just say whatever.
Yeah.
So it is a small molecule, and it's for these children where when they go out in the light in the daytime, it starts affecting their metabolism. Porphyria can result in some liver toxicity from the byproducts of what gets converted because of the light exposure, what we call phototoxic. Mm-hmm. So the division that nominated this, again, thought this would be a good fit, and so sounds potentially promising.
Right. Rare disease, but incredibly, it influences the child's life. If you can't go outside as a child, talk about, the social consequences and the emotional consequences long term. So it is a game-changing, potentially a game-changing product. The product name, by the way, is DISC-1459. I don't know if that's the final name. But
Bitopertin.
And it's the company, I believe, is Disc Medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned rare diseases because we're committed to doing everything we can for rare diseases. This National Priority Review Program is not designed to encompass the Pediatric Priority Review Program. It's designed to complement. I have been on the Hill advocating for the Pediatric Priority Review Voucher Program, and I'm optimistic that we'll get renewed by Congress. Mm-hmm. So we are very committed to that program, which is
great.
Distinct from this one.
Yes.
Let's do one more.
Okay.
And then we'll do batch two in a couple weeks, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds good. This one is a product for pancreatic cancer.
KRAS inhibitor.
Yes. Pancreatic cancer, this is certainly a large unmet need. We don't have great treatments out there for this yet. So if you want to talk a little bit about
sure. That. So maybe 60 to 65,000 people a year get diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. a subset, a small fraction of them will have a certain genetic profile that makes them a candidate for this KRAS inhibitor, at least the candidate for the trial in the trial criteria. The medication is RMC-6236, and the oncology division thought this is something that is potentially promising, and they're enthusiastic about having this part of our national priority review. Pancreatic cancer, one of the most common cancers in the United States, in the world of GI cancer, one of the most common GI cancers. GI cancers, of course, are not seeing the reductions that other cancer types are seeing in all of medicine. So we'll
this
see.
This was Revolution Medicines?
Revolution Medicine, the okay. sponsor, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
So we'd like to, hopefully we can see some promising results. Look,
yeah.
we are going into the pipeline, talking to the reviewers, asking them, what do you think may potentially look amazing?
Yeah.
And so we are not taking a receive-only mode. We are going into the divisions, asking them, tell us what you think is potentially amazing, potentially
right.
promising.
Right. Transformative.
Transformative.
Yeah.
And then let's reach out to the companies and see maybe we can enhance the communications. We can reduce the idle time. We can cut the red tape, and we can do things like this pilot program to meet our broader goal of more cures and meaningful treatments for the American public and healthier food for children, which is separate from this discussion.
Yeah.
So great. Any parting thoughts, Malika?
I am excited about the innovation that's happening. So just, you know, thank you for the ideas, and look forward to seeing kind of what happens next.
Thank you for leading this effort. We would not be able to do so many of the things we're doing were it not for amazing people like yourself that have been here at the FDA, know the FDA, are amazing physicians and scientists, and have responded and said, yes, this looks amazing. I want to be a part of it. So thanks for leading this.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right,
thanks
folks.
To the reviewers, too.
Right? Yes, the many
the
reviewers. I wish we could just rotate them through here and give them some credit. You know,
right?
They work so hard.
Yeah.
Amazing people. Maybe you'll see some of them walking around in the background, but they deserve more airtime than that. But all right, folks, thanks so much, and we'll do it again.